You are all well aware of how important it is to read the lives of the saints. I quote them probably every single Sunday. Many of the saints spoke about the importance of reading about the saints because they are our exemplars in the faith. They give us hope, they give us encouragement, they show us the path to follow. But in particular, it's important to read the modern day saints because they speak in a particular way to the times in which we live. God raised them up in our own age. So people like Padre Pio, St. Teresa of Lisieux, Blessed Mother Teresa, and one recently, not yet canonized, but well on his way, Venerable Fulton Sheen. And so as soon as he was declared venerable, I thought, gosh, I should pick up a book on him. He wrote an autobiography, which I have about 10 pages left to read, and it's given me a lot of homily material, which I always greatly appreciate. You know, the longer you're in a parish, the harder it is to say things that your parishioners haven't yet heard. So, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he speaks directly about this passage in his autobiography. And you know what his conclusion is. He says, the Eucharist is so essential to our oneness with Christ that as soon as our Lord announced it in the Gospel, it began to be the test of the fidelity of his followers. It began to be the test of the fidelity of his followers. My brothers and sisters, what happens in the gospel today? It's something we do not hear about at any other time. It says many people left him. In almost every other passage, we hear people being drawn to him. But what happens when he says, I will give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink, and that unless you eat it, you do not have life within you. But those who do have eternal life. It says many people thought this is a hard saying. Who can accept that? Who can believe that? So at this time, the masses left him. He lost them. And so if he didn't mean exactly what he said it would have been, no, let me clarify. Wait, come back. And it goes even further. It says many of his disciples, those who were close to him, it doesn't say a few, it doesn't say some of them, many of them no longer accompanied him. And then finally it goes to the greatest degree. There is a split in the 12 apostles, those whom he has specifically chosen to be his. For the first time we hear that Judas will betray him. My brothers and sisters, why would our Lord be willing to risk such a great loss? Because the Eucharist is everything. If the Eucharist is God, the Eucharist is everything. It is the foundation of all that we have and all that we are. As the Catechism says, it is the source, the center, and the summit of our faith. St. Paul says, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And in the Eucharist we have him. St. Paul also says, in Christ we have every blessing in the heavens. So every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive the full riches of heaven into our souls. Fulton Sheen goes on to say, he says, so why did Judas leave our Lord? He says, many people will say it was because of money, that he was a greedy man. He wanted those 30 pieces of silver. Fulton Sheen says, the beginning of Judas's fall and the end of Judas all revolved around the Eucharist. It says, Jesus knew the ones who would not believe and the one who would betray him. Fulton Sheen concludes that he must have been one of those who did not believe. And so it was this disbelief in the Eucharist that began Judas's separation. And then on the night of the Last Supper, when our Lord gave his body and blood, that's when Judas finally left definitively. Fulton Sheen shares two stories. So in his autobiography, he has about 15 chapters. And in my opinion, the greatest of all is the one on conversion. And he says the first woman whom God ever gave him the grace to convert was a relative of his whom he had never met before. So he's just ordained a priest. He's living in Washington, D.C., and he gets a phone call from his great aunt. And his aunt says, "Fulton, will you please go visit one of your distant cousins?" He'd never even heard of her before. He said, "Okay." She says, "Now, she's actually not Catholic, and I don't think she likes Catholicism very much, but if anyone can do it, you can." So he says, "All right, I'm willing to give it a try." He drives over to this woman's home. He knocks on the door. The woman opens the door, sees that it's a Catholic priest, and she spits on him and slams the door. So Fulton Sheen, he walks away and says, "Okay, Lord, obviously I can't do this." So he decides he's going to offer her every single day at daily Mass. Say, "Lord, through the sacrifice of your son, I ask for her conversion." He went and visited that woman's home in September. 6 months later, in February, he gets a random phone call, and it is that distant cousin. She says, "Will you please come see me again?" He drives to her home. She opens, she welcomes him in. He says, "Now, why did you call?" She said, "I found out yesterday from the doctor that I have 2 weeks left to live. I want to ask you if you'll find a home for my children." And he says, "Woman, you're not going to die." He says, "I've been praying for you every day. Our Lord is using this to frighten you into the Catholic Church." She began RCIA the next day with him, private lessons. She lived for many, many years after that. His first conversion by the power of the Eucharist. On another occasion, he is sitting in the confessional one afternoon, and a young lady comes in. He could tell by her voice that she was young. And it was after the Second Vatican Council. And so you could either go to the screen or circle around to sit in the chair in front of the priest. She kneels down behind the screen, and she says, "Father, I'm not here to confess." He says, "Okay, why are you here?" "Well, just to waste a little bit of time." He says, "Well, how much time do you need to waste?" He said, "Well, my mom's outside. As much time as will convince her that I actually went to confession." He said, "Okay, you need just about 5 minutes then." And in those 5 minutes, he tried all he could to get her to go to confession. She wouldn't do it. After about 4 minutes, he says, "Will you do me a favor? Sometimes our Lord allows me to know how people have transgressed just by seeing them. Would you mind circling around and sitting in the chair before me?" She comes around and sits down in front of him, and he looks at her, and he says, "You are a prostitute." And she said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "My daughter, you can be forgiven." She said, "That's not what I'm afraid I can't be forgiven for." She gets up and she leaves. He's hearing confessions for another half an hour, at which time he thinks, I just need a little bit of fresh air before I continue. He goes outside, and there is that young girl standing outside the church. And again, he approaches her and tries to encourage her to come back to confession. She says, "Do you want to know why I can't go?" She said, "When I began a life of prostitution, it wasn't too long before the authorities picked me up one night. And they brought me to a home of religious sisters that they might take care of me." She said, "I didn't want to be there, and so I made a pact with Satan that I would make a novena of sacrilegious communions, that I would receive Holy Communion 9 days in a row unworthily if he would find the means for me to escape." She said, "On the 9th day, they let me go." And again, she walked away. He returned to the confessional. He heard confession for 3 more hours. Every penitent who came to him for their penance, he said, "Will you pray a rosary for a young lady in need of it?" He probably heard 50 people's confessions. After 50 rosaries offered, at the end of that night, as he's about to turn off the light, there comes that young girl. The power of the Eucharist when we are in a state of grace, and the detriment when we are not in a state of grace. there's some confusion in the times that we live in. Oftentimes people think, gosh, if I could bring fallen away Catholics, or if I could bring non-Catholics to communion, if they could just receive our Lord, he would touch them and their hearts would be transformed. Without proper catechesis or without confession, it could have the opposite effect. There are few graver sins than to receive our Lord when we are in a state of sin. The Church calls the Mass the wedding feast of the Lamb. Who does our Lord come to wed? But every single one of us. He wants us to be one with him forever. And so the prayers we bring here are like the requests we would make of a spouse on our wedding day. How could they refuse? But those requests must be made with a pure heart.